Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we got a packed show. We have Caleb Dressel, 7-time gold medal winner in swimming. We tasked some questions that we're still thinking about. He's kind of got ourselves in a little bit of a twister there.
Maybe one of the all-time whoa moments.
Yeah, if the sun is hot, why is space cold?
I think he's still thinking about it too.
Yeah, I am. I know I am. So great interview with him. And then we have Pac-Man Jones and special guest Bobby Lang getting ready for Rough and Rowdy 15, which is tonight. So go buy rnr.com. Should be a great event. Also, Chef Donnie, our coworker, is fighting in it, so should be a great card.
Billy's basically fighting in it too, as yeah. Chef Donnie's. Actually, know what Billy's doing? Billy's actually stealing valor from Chef Donnie,
yes.
Saying that he's going to be in this fight this week.
Yes,
he's going to be training Chef Donnie.
He's getting the juices flowing. We got the Mount Rushmore of rom-coms, Firefest, little Friday fun show for everyone. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Coors Light, the coldest beer ever created. Get those Blue Mountains now. Today is Friday, August 27th. I don't really have anything to start the show with. It's just a kickback. Let's have a kickback, boys.
How about this? Freeform Friday.
Yeah.
On Pardon My Take.
Okay.
So let's get it started. Freeform.
The
if
Jaguars.
The water is clear.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're gonna get to that with Caleb Dressel. Freeform. I think the Jaguars already hate Urban Meyer.
I think that Trevor Lawrence hates Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
You know what Urban Meyer is doing? He's doing the old Mike Martz offense. I'm not gonna leave anybody in there to protect you.
Yep.
And Urban Meyer is already thinking about shopping for houses in South Bend.
We're gonna get our guy Pete Prisco on in a week or so to preview some of the NFL stuff. We also have Warren Sharp as well, but he had a report, or I don't know if it was an article, but he said that
Pete Prisco. It was an article.
He said, "I've heard some of the players aren't thrilled with him either, including having a microphone on the field. One of his assistants on the field during practice with a boom mic, telling everybody to hydrate and hustle." And get to the next period. We kind of alluded to this when Urban Meyer got hired, but a professional athlete who's getting paid millions of dollars, getting yelled at to hydrate and hustle, I feel like there's a better way.
Well, so Urban Meyer, you remember taking the tour of the Ohio State facility.
Yep.
And he actually thinks that he is in the military.
Correct.
Urban Meyer is cosplaying as a military guy.
He's cosplaying as Billy.
As Billy. He wishes he was Billy. He has like a poster. No, not even a poster. The walls are painted in the weightlifting facility that just says, train like a United States soldier.
Yes.
And so he's bringing that mentality. I don't think it's going to work. I think that he's going to be out of the league. This is right now a clip that we're saying that is absolutely going to be used against us in like 2 years when he's won
okay.
the Super Bowl.
But that's no, you know what? I've said it when he got hired. I don't think it's going to work.
Hot takes. Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes. So wait. I mean, you're going to say it that way?
Teddy Bridgewater. I love Teddy. Good for Teddy.
You're not going to introduce it as the end of the era?
No. Big Cat, here is the main takeaway from Teddy Bridgewater being named the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. he is 23-8 against the spread yes. in his last 31 starts as an underdog.
Yes.
So remember that. I'm not going to ask Jake to set any reminders. Jake, I know that your calendar is probably pretty full. Maybe this can go on Billy's public reminder for everybody to partake in.
Which he didn't make.
Which he is in the process of making, I'm sure. When Teddy Bridgewater is an underdog, bet on Teddy Bridgewater.
What do we say about, though, the end of the Drew Lock era? It was a fun era?
Minor setback for a major comeback.
He's still got the swag.
Listen.
Do you think that he would have been benched earlier if he didn't do the dancing thing?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that went a long way towards marketing him. Yep. Also, if he didn't have that one awesome incompletion in practice that Von Miller told us about,
yep.
that's the sort of thing that'll keep you around for a little bit longer.
John Elway just can't find – this is his – I saw the stat. It was 11th starting quarterback since Peyton Manning. Now, obviously, one of them is whoever they started, that like guy off the street. Like the third or the seventh wide receiver last year.
The practice squad wide receiver.
Yeah, who was great. His name is escaping me. But so that doesn't really count. But 11 quarterbacks. I mean, come on. John Elway.
You want to see how many of them we can name?
Okay. Trevor Siemian.
Brock Osweiler.
Wait. Get the list.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, let me
Trevor. Brock.
Brock, Trevor, Drew Lock. I think I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater would be this the,
yeah, that would be the 11th probably.
Probably the 11th. Wow,
there's just a lot of
wow
empty space.
Case Keenum.
Oh yeah, that's right. He was there for
fix.
A year. Yeah.
He was the fix for a while.
He actually started all 16 games in 2018.
Yeah, he was the big fix. Whew.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is bad. Hold on. We gotta have at least one other.
Blake didn't start, right?
No. They won't. They're too much of a cowards to let him play.
Because the one that you'll be like, oh, I should have known.
It would have been solved if it was him. Simeon's Northwestern, right?
Yep.
Trevor
Siemian. Fuck. This is gonna fuck me
up. Oh, Paxton Lynch.
Yes.
Yep.
Fucking hate that guy. Nice guy. Because he's now completely out of the league. That's one of those first round picks that doesn't get mentioned enough.
I think he got signed somewhere.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's with somebody.
Why can't Josh Rosen work out there?
Yeah, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Oh, nice. There you go. Paxton, way to keep it going, even though you cost me all that money in that bowl game. All right, give us the rest.
Flacco started 8 games.
Flacco!
In 2019. Brandon Allen, 3 games in 2019. And then this past year, Jeff Driscoll, Brett Rypien. And then it says Philip Lindsay 1 game, but I don't know if that was some wildcat thing.
So.
This is Wikipedia.
That might have been the start. That might have been the guy who started. Yeah, we should have gotten Jeff Driscoll.
Yeah,
because he is Blake Bortles' enemy.
Yep, and obviously Joe Flacco was a big miss.
Yeah, that was a big miss. Okay though.
That rocket arm was just never meant to be in that altitude.
Yeah,
Kyle Orton.
No,
well he's
not since older. Peyton Manning. Yeah. But either way, that's Teddy Bridgewater. I think not just because of the stat you just said about Teddy Bridgewater being an underdog, but like this team, the Broncos this year will be a bet-on team for me because Teddy Bridgewater is perfect for Vic Fangio's defense, like a quarterback that's not going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. not going to lose you the game, let the defense win you the game. I feel like they'll be frisky.
I think that if I look at a stat line after the game and it says 148 yards,
yep.
one touchdown, zero interceptions. Let me take it back. 148 yards, zero touchdowns, zero interceptions. That is a Teddy Bridgewater
14
stat line.
14 for 20.
Yep, that's a Teddy Bridgewater stat line. He's a perfectly fine quarterback.
No, I like Teddy.
He's a nice guy. And everywhere he's gone, everyone's loved him.
Yeah, absolutely. There that is. Oh, Little League World Series going on. Who's still in it? Hawaii? I watched the Hawaii game last night.
Bummed
me out so bad to have that pitcher. Oh, that pitcher from North Dakota or South Dakota.
Gavin Weir.
Incredible.
They call him Mini Chris Sale.
He's given up one hit, I think. Or no, one run in like the entire summer.
Four no-hitters, right?
Four no-hitters. Incredible. I love like a dominant pitcher. That's what you kind of remember from Little League World Series. But I got
Kyle Carter-esque.
Yeah, Danny Almonte. I got super bummed out.
Monet Davis. Monet Davis.
1-1.
Scrub.
Team didn't even win.
Didn't even win.
Don't even get to Big Al.
Oh, yeah. Big Al didn't even make it to Williamsport. No. He likes to hit dingers, though. The stat that they showed the kid was like favorite actor Dwayne Johnson, and I just got so sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. So he has no idea about the people's elbow. He has no idea what, you know, smell what The Rock's cooking.
Who calls because him Dwayne Johnson? Yeah.
I didn't know The Rock is a wrestler.
All right. That, it was a total bummer of a night between that and Laura Rutledge posting Paul Feinbaum's TikTok, and I was about to roast it, and then I had the realization, credit to me for having a little self-awareness, that Billy comes up to us like four times a week and is like, here, say a Pokemon guy and then scream. And then it just goes out on the internet and I never see it again.
I have no idea where it is. You know what actually be
go a... Go follow our TikTok.
Go follow our TikTok.
You know what would be a much better TikTok account than whatever they're trying to do with Paul Feinbaum? Is just have somebody follow around the TikTok person for Paul Feinbaum and then videotape them while the TikTok person is explaining what dance to do.
Yeah.
And just watch Paul Feinbaum's brain start to like bubble out of the top of his head trying to figure out what's going on.
Yes.
I want to see the behind the scenes of that stuff.
Yes.
But that pitcher in the Little League World, what's his name?
Gavin Weir.
Gavin Weir. What I like about him is he throws junk.
Yeah.
He's not like...
It's bad for your elbow.
But guess what? Hank, legends live forever.
That's loser talk. That's loser talk right there.
My dad wouldn't let me throw a curveball until I was 13. Maybe that's why.
You would have been in the big leagues.
I'm just jealous. Yeah.
Listen, he's from South Dakota. If he wins the Little League World Series, he's a legend forever.
True. Yeah.
That's true.
I think a lot of these kids, they get up there when they're like 13 years old, and they're the ones that grow before everybody. They're, you know, almost 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
They can throw 72 miles an hour, which is the equivalent. I always love the equivalent where it says, like, this is like trying to hit 115-mile-an-hour fastball.
I'd take it to the moon.
Yeah. Listen, you just get contact on that. Yeah. You let the pitch work for you.
You don't have
to swing hard.
I'd love to fucking just jack home runs off these little kids.
But this
guy, like a dream of mine.
This guy throws...
I don't know about that.
You think Gavin Weir could strike me out?
Yes.
Well, he could strike me out, but you don't think I'd hit one out of the park?
Not on a Little League diamond, no.
It's like 200 feet.
Hank, it's so much easier on a Little League diamond.
Dude, that's gas.
It's a pop-up, though, for me.
You just make contact and the ball's going.
Reach out. I think that would be a good video.
It would be a hilarious video.
I don't... That kid throwing 72 miles an hour.
It has to be a 12-year-old.
Well, here's the problem.
Or 13.
I think that Gavin Weir would strike us all out because he throws that hook. He's got the 12-6 curveball, but if you go up against one of the guys that's throwing 70 miles an hour, I would absolutely be able to take a lefty. I could go yard off a lefty that's throwing 70 miles an hour.
What is it? So what's it adjusted? 115 or something?
Something like that.
90, whatever?
They don't really know.
225.
All right, 100 coming in, 100 going out. 105 going out. Exit velo.
Mm-hmm.
The
spin rate would be almost non-existent.
Yeah.
On those fastballs.
It would be a great video.
No movement.
I also loved just a shout out to all the kids. Every Little League team has that one kid who hasn't grown yet,
mm-hmm.
and he's just like a little spark plug.
Second baseman
or catcher sometimes. Like, it's just always funny to see that kid.
They also showed the clip of the kids in the outfield watching. And it showed them like hanging out and just showing each other the video of a hot girl on their phone.
Yes.
That was as pure as it gets.
It was, but I think that needed to be left off the broadcast.
Oh,
why? Because that's just guys' time. That's guys being dudes. That's personal time. That's team building and bonding for these kids.
That's what it's all about.
Hank, would you have fucked her?
No comment. I don't know.
Would you? Okay.
She was probably like 13.
Mm-hmm.
No, she was a grown woman.
She was an adult.
That was a very grown woman.
She looked like she was great at whatever job she chose to do.
it was a very grown woman.
I have an all-time guess what team this guy's on now.
Oh, okay.
You guys might know it, but
I
completely spaced on this.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on the Eagles.
Yep.
But he got hurt.
Yep, that's
he's obviously on the Bucs a couple career, years yep. ago. I feel like I know this. God damn it!
He's on the football team for a while. Pinched Jay Gruden's nipple.
The Raiders.
Oh, this is gonna drive me nuts.
I think I researched it the other day.
What is it?
Did you?
I think I don't remember.
Say it.
Is it the Rams?
Yeah, he's on the Rams.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Fucking crazy,
hand up,
right?
I did not know that.
So, that is crazy.
Yeah, just an update. So to refresh your memory, Emmanuel Sanders, a Bill, Corey Davis, a Jet.
Bud Dupree, a Titan.
Nelson Aguilar's on the Patriots.
Yep.
What the hell?
Yeah.
According to Madden.
You know he is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I buy it. And then, of course, DeSean Jackson is a Ram. Something to keep updated on.
That is good. That's a good update. Where's Sammy Watkins?
Ooh, so I just saw this today. Sammy Watkins is a Panther.
Wow.
Raven.
Wow.
Okay.
That one would have shocked me week one. Thank God we've gotten up to speed.
That's a classic Raven signing, too, because for the last 30 years, it feels like the Ravens are like, you just need to get a true wide receiver one for the quarterback, and then the Ravens are going to be a great team.
I'll make a list for
and then
guys.
Sammy Watkins is their true wide receiver
Des Bryant
one
last year.
That they've signed. Yeah, for a while it was, what was it?
Well, Hollywood Brown is good, but
yeah. Torrey Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, true wide receiver one. That's all it takes for the Ravens to be pushed over the top.
That was a good one. I did not know DeSean Jackson was on the Rams. I actually was thinking about this today because Matt Stafford's getting all the love, and I'm on the record saying Matt Stafford's a Hall of Famer. What if he stinks?
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone is expecting him to take this next step. You know, like, he's finally with a franchise that can support him, and he's got Sean McVay and the defense. But, like, what if he just isn't good?
Yeah. I read the article in ESPN that Seth Wickersham did where it's just profiling Matt Stafford in his new home in L.A. I think it just came out today. And I think the entire time Matt Stafford just was not liking Seth Wickersham's questions.
Because
all the answers that he gave were like, I don't want to talk to you about that, Seth. And so Seth had to write an article that was basically what he thinks Matt Stafford thinks. Really all that I took away from the article was he's skinny. And he is
looking skinny.
Here's my big concern. He signed two endorsement deals this offseason. One with Fanatics. That's pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
Second, with a yoga apparel company.
Uh-oh.
So no more wide nine Matt Stafford, no more fat Stafford.
Mm.
He's like Hollywood now.
Damn.
So part of what I used to like about Matt Stafford is he had a little bit of that chunk going.
But it goes back to something we always talk about is like never try to be too great at anything. Matt Stafford has the most pressure he's ever had in his life right now because he can't. Maybe I'm a coward and the inner competitor in me is not up to par. But it wouldn't have been bad to just stay with Detroit the whole time and just be like, well, it wasn't my fault. It was the Lions' fault.
Right.
It's like, okay, you have to be good.
Well, think about it. We look back at the careers of Calvin Johnson, Barry Sanders so fondly.
Right.
Because they've got the added sympathy. That's better. Because if Barry Sanders was, let's just say that he played on the Raiders for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Raiders lost a few times in the playoffs. Maybe they were in that Tuck Rule game. Barry Sanders, I don't know, was he still? That's probably after Barry Sanders.
A little
Sanders.
After, yeah.
But let's just say that they were in the playoffs a couple times. He lost a couple playoff games. There would be people talking like, Barry Sanders couldn't win the big one.
Right.
That's never a question for a Lions player.
Right. And it's kind of like, I'd rather be underrated my entire life mm-hmm. than be underrated and then be proven to be properly rated.
At least don't go to a big market to right. try to prove yourself.
And the Sean McVay angle and the fact that their defense is so good. Yep. I don't know. No pressure, Matt.
It's a
lot of pressure.
It's a high bar for him. Like, what would you consider to be a disappointing season for the Rams?
Not making the playoffs is absolutely that.
Yeah, that's very bad.
They have to make the playoffs, I think.
If they need to win two playoff games. Or no, they need to get to the
one. Divisional round. If they win the wild card game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they need to be in two playoff games.
Yes, correct. Which would be exactly what they were last year.
That's why I'm thinking like maybe. Okay,
they need to get to the NFC Championship.
They need to be in two playoff games and cover the spread in the second one.
They need to be very close. And so, like, if they need to go to like Lambeau and keep it close.
Yes, if they go to Lambeau and don't get blown out, I would consider that a win.
Yeah. So, all right, I think that's kind of everything. We're still in like that eye of the hurricane where it's like about to get crazy for us.
And what better time than now to do a stress test?
Yes, let's do it. So we skipped it on Tuesday. People were mad at me. I skipped it due to time. We were trying to finish up before Hard Knocks started. I don't think Jake took any offense.
None whatsoever.
Right. I know that because we know each other very well.
Of course.
But either way, let's do the stress test, which I have already failed.
Yeah. So we have 10 multiple choice questions. We can do both of you guys. But I think we should. Okay. We'll do Hank too.
Hank too.
I have.
That's another great unintentional alpha by Jake. Right
yep.
There.
Yep.
Whoops. I guess I just forgot about Hank.
Keep that same energy, people who are mad at me. To be mad at Jake for just walking all over Hank right there.
I apologize, Hank.
Okay. I just knew Jake.
Third time.
I just knew that Jake, when we ask him to do something, he will do it and he will do 110% of it. I knew that he had spent a considerable amount of time preparing for the stress test. And I'm also interested to see
we were going
to
do it. We were running out of time.
I'm interested to see what Jake thinks that a stress test is because I think when we talked about the stress test, we may have been doing it under the idea of like a John Taffer bar rescue stress test where they see what you can handle. Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
So every question has the options never, almost never, sometimes, fairly often, or very often. So
okay.
The same answers every time. So in the last season.
Wait, let me write that down.
So yeah. I don't
forget. Always?
No, it's never, almost never, sometimes, fairly often, very often.
I'm going to get tripped up with almost never and sometimes.
Sometimes.
Okay.
That's like basically, medium rare.
Basically,
medium
one to five. Basically, one to five.
What are the other two? All right, can we just do one to five?
Yeah. I'll
so one is out. Most stressed, five is least stressed.
Well,
one is no, one is never. Them, five yeah, is always.
Very often. Yeah. Okay. This is, yeah. All right.
Five is
always.
Always.
Very
got
often.
Got
yeah.
it. Got it.
In the last season, how often have you been upset because of something that happened unexpectedly?
Five.
Football only.
Five.
Five.
Five. It's an easy five.
So we're going to get a score 1 to 40 of how stressed you are at the end of these 10.
Okay.
So I feel like you guys might have identical tests.
Yeah, no, let's just do one test. Yeah, yeah. All of us together. We'll decide if we have a debate about any of them.
Okay. In the last season, how often have you felt that you were unable to control important things in your life? Football only.
4.5?
I'm going to say 3.
Well, last year was COVID year, too, so there was a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, control. That's a good point. There was a lot out of our control.
Last year was like I'm just glad to be here year.
4?
Yeah, we can call it a 4.
4.
Okay, so fairly often.
When you're in the NFC East, it's pretty easy to like just let things happen and you end up on top.
Yeah, I think this one's easy. How often have you felt nervous and stressed?
5.
5.
Yeah. You guys are going to have a high score, I think. Felt confident.
Oh, no, duh.
Felt confident about your ability to handle your personal problems.
I'd say it's a 3.
I think that my personal problems are my football problems during football season. So, yeah.
What's 3 again?
Sometimes.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah, sure. 3. Okay.
3.
All right. Question 5. Felt that things were going your way.
5. Never.
So, 1.
No, 1. Yeah.
1 is never.
Things were going my way.
I feel like Hank had a pretty good season.
He did.
No, the Patriots stunk.
Yeah. This is football only, not football. Gambling.
No, it's both. It's both.
Yeah, like the big cat intertwined.
The Bears made the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they had to invent a new playoff game just so we could get embarrassed on Nickelodeon. 1.
So never. Question 6. How often have you found that you could not cope with all the things you had to do?
Not cope.
4.
4.
Yeah.
Because
we still did the show.
Yeah, 4.
Okay. Been able to control irritations in your life.
Never.
2.
Almost
two's
never?
Fine. Yeah, almost never.
Yeah, irritations, like, we did.
I have to watch games with Big Cat. I feel like that's.
I have to watch games with Hank.
No, I'm saying. No, it's not bad for me. I'm saying for you.
Okay, yeah. So almost never.
Yes. It's out of your control.
Correct.
How Hank often have you
up,
felt that
fourth
you were
quarter,
on.
I got every bet that's winning, you got every bet that's losing kind of feel.
Yeah. How often have you felt that you were on top of things?
Yeah.
What?
On top of things?
What?
2?
Almost
you always?
Never? Almost
for football?
Never?
Oh.
Football only. We're on top of it all.
Football only.
On top of things, yeah.
Three, no, but think about like everything that goes on. Like, do you think that you're paying attention to like keeping in touch with friends, doing all like
no,
I'd say
football,
it's
only. Football only. How
when you're sitting in there watching Red Zone.
Right.
Say the question again.
But how often have you felt that you are on top of things?
Football only,
no.
I think it's a 5.
No.
Chaos, right?
There's 5 is
there's always. Well, 5 is very often.
Okay. No, definitely not very often.
Here's
dude,
what,
when
here's
there's 60,
the
you
guys always talk
on?
About a game that you're like, are you sure that game happened?
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, keep an eye on that. And then I'm like, why didn't anyone keep an eye on that? That over's going to die.
The afternoon games are where we get really thrown off on this because there are like 2 weeks a year where they give us 6 games or it feels like all the games they have. So I'm going to say 3 because
I say 2.
If it's a
almost
normal
never.
Schedule, it's good. If it's one of these fucked up schedules, then it's much, much more difficult.
But I'm thinking, think about just when we get to the witching hour. You're not on top of everything. There's no way.
If it was
any
Scott,
of us,
if it was Scott Hansen on the TV.
Yeah, 2. I think 2 is
so almost
2.
Never.
I actually like Siciliano.
All right,
I feel
what's,
bad
what's
shitting
3
on him
again?
So much.
Sometimes.
All right, fine. Go 3.
All right, sometimes. 2 more. The penultimate question: how often have you been angered because of things that happened
5.
That were out of your control?
5.
5.
6.
Always.
Lastly,
super always.
How often have you felt difficulties were piling up so high that you could not overcome them?
6. Give that one a 6.
No, that's probably a 3.
That you couldn't...
Difficulties piling up that you can't overcome? We always overcome.
In football?
We always overcome.
I don't know. I feel
because at the end of the day,
if you guys have a bad betting day, you come in here, you do the podcast.
Yeah, we always overcome.
That's true. But in the moment when I'm watching the early slate,
but you bounce back for the late slate.
Even one loss, even if I go like 5-1 during one part of the afternoon,
maybe we deviate here because I always bounce back. Get off the mat.
You say one.
I never lay down on the mat.
You say five and you say three.
I wallow.
Agree at four.
I wallow in my pity.
Hey, yeah, but no, but you eventually get off the mat. Like
eventually,
say the question one more time.
How often have you felt difficulties were piling up so high that you could not overcome them?
You can always overcome PFT.
I know.
You're not giving it yourself enough
but
credit.
But sometimes you feel
no,
like you can't.
No, but you always overcome.
Sometimes you feel like you can't, though.
I agree with you about the momentary feeling, but you always show up. You always get back up. You hit. You're never down for 10, you know, okay. The 10 count.
We'll give it a 3-point.
So a 3.
3.14159.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
Yeah.
You got resilience. You got grit.
All right. You guys out of 40 have a stress score of 31. That's high.
Okay.
And that's preseason.
Yes. What's good?
Probably under 20.
Okay. Not a great
baseline.
We'll do
one midseason and postseason.
Yeah.
It's going to be even more. It's going to be off the charts.
31 out of 40 yes. Stress score. Mm-hmm. So preseason. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, this. So the reason why we started this is because you said that we both said a few months ago that it's harder to watch football than play football.
More stressful. Yeah.
And that is.
Which is true.
It's true. We just proved it.
Wait.
Our
so
original
if,
thesis.
If you go back and you read through these questions, I'm going to pretend like I'm, let's just say I'm CeeDee Lamb. Okay. I'm a wide receiver. I play on the Dallas Cowboys. Ask me some of those. Just pick a couple questions at random.
All right. Felt that you were unable to control important things in your life.
One.
Yeah.
Because all these questions, they can actually affect
the
change.
They can control, yeah.
Me as a viewer, I can't.
Right.
I really can't control. I'm at the whims of the gods.
Although I do think Matt Nagy would probably have just as much stress because he can't control anything.
That's true.
So how often does CeeDee Lamb feel nervous and stressed?
I don't think he does because he's
not.
Like, I'm going to go out there and just be really fast and awesome.
Yeah. See, this is the thing.
Yes.
This just
they
actually,
control it.
It proves that watching football is
yeah.
by a factor of 10 more difficult than playing football.
We just they are the operator of the roller coaster. We're just so long for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
So we proved our point.
Yeah.
I think
you're right.
Okay.
I'd like to see one of them trade positions with us for a weekend.
They couldn't do it.
Don't think so.
They couldn't do it. No. All right, let's get to our interviews. So we got Caleb Dressel coming up. Awesome interview. We got the best compliment we can ever get after an interview. He said to Peggy, who booked him.
Shout out, Peggy.
That he had so much fun and he's been burnt out from doing interviews, but he could have stayed on with us for an hour. So that's the best compliment we get. Awesome to talk to him, rooting for him. And then we're going to get into Pac-Man Jones and Bobby Lang because Rough and Rowdy 15 is tonight.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. And here he is, Caleb Dressel.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. He is a 7-time Olympic gold medalist. You saw him in Tokyo. You're going to see him this weekend if you tune in to CBS. It is this Saturday. So tomorrow when we're airing this, the ISL in Naples, Italy. So it's a professional swimming league in its third season. It is Caleb Dressel. Caleb, thank you for joining us. Now, I don't want to minimize all the gold medals that you've won and the incredible accomplishments you've had in the pool, but to kind of break down the fourth wall, fifth wall, I never get that right. We were supposed to interview you yesterday, and we got a message that you were saving someone's life out of a ditch. And we have been sitting here, we haven't moved out of these seats for 24 hours, wondering what actually happened. So we have to start the interview with that. What happened?
Okay, so I keep a winch, a tow trap, a tow strap, and a tree strap in my truck in case I need it. And yesterday I was going down the highway right before turning down the road that me and Megan live in, And I passed a guy that had a trailer. It was in one of the like free candy vans, like the creepy white vans. And there's a trailer on the back with a bunch of rocks. And he was stuck. My guy tried to do a U-turn and he got bogged down. It's been raining a lot here in Florida. So he was stuck. And there was a cop right behind him. This is what I understand. There's a cop right behind him who was just sitting there. So I turned around. I pulled up next to him. I was like, hey, do you have chains or a strap? He's like, I got nothing. And the cop behind me is just telling him to move out of the way because he's blocking traffic. So the cop was just sitting there, I guess, getting on to him doing nothing. So I had my tow strap on me. And I think I actually like hurt my truck because it's a stick shift and it's not really made for pulling. So I was just riding first gear, getting this guy unstuck, and my truck still stinks from the burnt clutch. So I got the guy out. Super nice guy. He's a great guy. I got the guy out, and that's why I had to miss our interview yesterday. So I apologize, but I'm not really sorry.
No apology necessary.
You left out the part where the ditch was filling up with water.
Yeah.
And you had to get him out of
acid
there.
Acid rain.
ASAP.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of gators swimming in. he was stuck. Yeah, it was. I saved his life. I really did.
Listen, for we've had, you know, things pop up on our end, on a guest's end, in the grand scheme of things, when we got the text being like, Caleb is saving someone out of a ditch. We're like, okay, that's actually a very fair reason to reschedule this.
Well, also credit to us because we said, you know what? Let him take care of this. Let him save the person's life. We don't need him rushing to us. So we kind of saved that person's life, too, by giving you permission to miss the interview.
Yes, true.
You gave me permission. I appreciate it.
Yes, we're all heroes.
You and Tim Tebow,
yes.
The two athletes out of Florida that have
all
saved
heroes.
The most lives.
All right, so, Caleb, let's talk some swimming, though. So, incredible Olympics. We watched you in Tokyo. Now you're going to swim again this weekend? I mean, aren't you tired?
Yeah, no, I'm really tired. I don't know if I'm exactly ready for it. I'm looking forward to seeing my teammates again. And the league, it really is fun. I mean, I'm not gonna pull crap anything and say like, oh yeah, I'm super excited. I'm super in shape to go do this. I'm not. But I think this is the best way to go get back into my routine, to get back into race shape, and I get to be around a bunch of people who are in the same boat as me. So I think that'll make it a little bit easier. I've swam a couple times since being back. I think I've swam 5 times since being back from the Olympics. I needed a break, and this was a little closer than I would have liked, but this is the cards I've been given. So I'll be ready to go. Looking forward to it. Probably not going to swim that fast, but it's fine.
Okay, wait. So I have a follow-up question to that because this is fascinating to me. So you raced in the Olympics. You won gold medals. You were awesome. How quickly do you lose that peak level of performance? Does it happen that quickly?
Yeah, dude. So if I take 2 days out of the water, I'll feel like trash. The following on that
2 days.
It's such a touchy sport. I mean, everyone's different. I mean, it buffs out. Like, you're not actually out of shape. But so basically we're training for – because of COVID this year, my base was – like an 18 month base where I had 18 months of training, which is way more than I've ever had. And then you start, it's called taper. You start to drop the training and get a little more rest under your belt. So you're not swimming tired. You can swim basically off of all the work you put in. So then you start to taper for about a month and then you go to the meet and then you take 3 weeks off. So basically your training has been slowly going down for like a total of 2 months. And then you got to get back into shape with everything. Yeah. So when you're at the meet, you're technically like in the Olympics, I'm at like my peak of swimming with doing less training. So it's weird. It's a very weird, weird sport. And then you take time off and then everything just goes downhill after that.
That's crazy.
Or you're going to be mentally fried.
Yeah. Just 2 weeks off is all it takes. Like, or you said 2 days?
2 days.
2 days without being in the water?
It feels like shit.
2 days. Okay. 2 days, you won't be out of shape. But you'll feel it. But 2 weeks, 2 weeks out of the water, you'll be out of shape. I mean, like, I'm not fat or anything right now, but I'm not
you
in
look
swim shape.
Kind of chunky now. Right now. No offense. Like, you look
it's
like
the,
a porker.
It's the new iPhone. I'm on actually the wide angle lens. That might be why.
Well, I was going to ask you, is it okay that I've kind of low-key been objectifying you, and I wanted your permission because I have been saying that you're very good-looking.
You said
tattoos.
Hot.
I said hot.
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 Yeah.
He's a hot bod.
He's a hot. One of those hots.
Yeah. So is that okay that I was saying that?
That's totally fine.
Okay. Cool.
I love it. I've got a couple really dumb questions about swimming because I have I know how to swim. I've been in several pools, but I don't know like any of the intricacies about the sport. Is there such a thing, like are certain pools faster than others? Can the water be fast? Like Tokyo, was that fast water?
That Tokyo was fast water. The only knock I have on Tokyo is, like, for NCAA swimming, they double, what do you call it? They have two lane lines for each lane because the water gets real choppy. So if you look at NCAA championships, like my senior year, all the way through, they have two lane lines for each lane because there's so much water being displaced. And for some reason, FINA only does one. So my only knock was Tokyo was a little choppy, but that was definitely the best pool I've ever been in. Best and fastest, for sure.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Like, are all the pools the same depth?
No, it's weird. So the temperature they usually aim for is like 78 to 80 degrees. I guess it sounds hot, but like 78, you're going to be shivering if you're not moving the whole time.
Yeah,
so
that's
good
cold.
Race temperature.
Yeah, that feels cold.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. I like it around like 80 because I don't want to jump in. And plus we're shaved during all this, so there's no body hair at all to keep us warm. So I like 80 because you can warm up and feel fine. And plus my races don't last long, so it's not like I'm going to overheat. But yeah, there's a lot of like little different things each pool has, but the depth is usually somewhere from like 8 to 10 around there. I like 9 feet. 9 feet's kind of where I work with. And then the blocks are the same. And then sometimes the gutters are different. Like that, I think that's what makes a pool fast, is that the gutters displace the water over the edge. So like basically in Tokyo, you could just walk right into the water. You don't have to step up on a ledge or anything. And that helps the water displace over to the side and the pool get less choppy.
Got it. Like an infinity pool almost.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like one of the rooftop pools. Yeah, that's exactly.
So that kind of makes sense. So a pool can be slower if there's more like waves bouncing off the wall and then coming back to the middle, right? And that's why you want to be in one of the middle lanes when you swim.
Yeah, and if it's like if a pool's shallow, you can't get under the wave coming off of the walls. And sometimes the water – if the water doesn't have anywhere to go, you're just going to get smacked around in there. It's like swimming in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Here's another really dumb question. Is the pool actually blue? Is the water blue or is the pool blue?
No, the water –
the water's clear.
Everything in Tokyo, everything was what? Yeah, it's water.
Did I just blow your mind?
I'm trying to back you up on this. I don't want to like absolutely bash you right here, but I think the walls are white, the bottom's white, and the water's clear. Did it look blue on TV?
Yeah, it always looks blue, right?
Did it? I don't remember.
Water always looks blue in the Olympics Tokyo when you're swimming. Am I the crazy one right? No, Hank's saying no. You see it too.
Swimming.
Bubba's colorblind, so we can't trust him. But yeah,
I think the bottom is blue. Yeah, the bottom is blue. No, the
bottom's blue.
Yeah, the bottom's blue and the walls are blue.
So the water's clear.
Are you colorblind?
So I have no idea what I'm talking about. Is basically what's happening.
Yeah, I'm looking right now at a picture. It seems like the bottom and the walls are blue.
You spend your entire life in a pool. Have you ever like taken a glass and then dipped it in and then pulled the water out?
He's been in the pool. I feel like he
you
the water's clear. The water's clear and the lining of the pool was white. I trust
Caleb. What are you talking about?
It looks
blue. There's blue.
That's the color blue.
You can't see it, but it's blue. The bottom is blue. It has to be blue. How is this possible that it's white?
It's science, man.
I'm so scared to say anything right now because it's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's white and clear.
How come it looks blue?
It looks really blue.
Is that like saying the sky is clear, but when you look up because of like bullshit like sun refraction and stuff, the sky is blue?
I got a little bit of a better picture. I think it's like a very light blue, but then the lines are blue, so maybe that's why it looks blue.
What lines are blue?
The lines on the lanes.
Oh, the actual ropes.
No, on the bottom of the pool. The lines.
Oh, the T?
Yeah.
No, the T's were okay. That's black. This is the hill I'm dying on right now. The T's were definitely black.
Black?
Mm-hmm. Those are usually black. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it looks blue. It definitely looks blue. All right. So, I mean, now I'm
it's
confused.
Blue. Do you pee in the pool? How quickly after you get into the pool do you pee? Let me rephrase that.
No, I saw what Ryan Loggs got asked this question years ago, and he got put on a burner, so I can't answer that one. I got to learn from him.
That means you do.
That's you that saying, means you do. Yeah, that's like, oh, it's a HIPAA violation to ask me if I pissed the pool. Everybody pees in the pool.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Nobody, no swimmer ever does.
So when you're racing and you're doing a 50-meter or 100-meter, do you have even time to see the guys next to you? Like, can you feel it? Like, all right, they're very, very close, or I got this.
Yeah, I know it's weird. Before every race, I know who's going to be the guy that I'm going to be racing in that heat. You know, you get a certain feel for it. I knew Hunter Free was going to be the Australian Kyle Chalmers, who's a great guy. I knew Hunter Fly was going to be, Christoph Milak. You know, you have a feel of where these guys are going to be. And Kyle and Hunter Free was actually two lanes over from me. But I could still, you can just feel where they're at. Cause you can see water being displaced and the peripherals on my goggles are actually pretty good. So I could tell he was going to be right there. And you know, when you're swimming out front in open water, like it's a different sensation. So I didn't have that in any race cause most of my races were close. But you can definitely see guys next to you. And then off the walls, when you turn, you can get a feel of where everybody's at for sure.
And then touching the pad at the end, has there ever been a race that you've been in where you like touched it and you're like, but it didn't work? Like your buzzer's broken in a game show?
No, not me, but I've had teammates where like they'll miss it with their hand and then they'll trigger it with their head or something like that. And then all they do is they usually have a manual timers behind them as well, in case they have to go back and see. But I've seen people miss it. I don't think I ever have.
Okay.
But I've seen a couple teammates.
Nice. Nice.
I heard that you like to pick up one piece of trash a day. Is that true? Just one?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes if I'm seeing more, I mean, that's not like the rule is like, oh, I picked up one, I'm not just going to like pass another one. But no, I mean, I have a couple rules throughout the day that I like to establish and get my day going. I mean, the easiest one is making my bed. You know, I stole that from, oh gosh, I even read, oh, his book is called Make Your Bed. That makes sense. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So it was, he did a graduation speech at the University of Texas. I forget his name. I can't remember if it was a colonel or a lieutenant, but great book and great speech. But no, it's the easiest thing. Think about it. It's the first thing you do throughout the day. Everyone can make their bed. Everyone's able to make their bed. Mm-hmm. You wake up, make the dang bed. If you, what?
Well, counter. All right. We'll do counterpoint. No.
Yeah. Okay.
I could just get back into my bed, not made.
No, but once you're already up and out of your bed,
right?
Is it that hard to actually make the bed? Will you agree if it's not that hard to make?
I don't know if it's hard is the word. Like chores suck.
What is the benefit?
No, chores, dude.
You like doing chores?
No, this is where I do. I like having habitual chores throughout the day. Yeah, and making my bed is one of them.
You're
because
like
think a, about it. If that's the
yeah, you're like a working dog. You're a working dog, like a cattle dog, and we're more like
bulldogs.
Pugs. Yeah, or pugs just sitting on the couch.
No, you're defined by your habits. I like to have good habits throughout the day. If that's the first task you complete throughout your day, you've already kickstarted to have a domino effect for the rest of your day. And if you have a terrible day, you get to come home to a nice clean bed. There's not a lose situation here with making your bed.
Yeah, but if you're saying like, oh, well, at the start of the day, I can do this and get an easy win, that's like a Mickey Mouse schedule. It's like, okay, yeah, you're playing a cupcake at the start. Mm-hmm. It's like Alabama when they play week one against some team that nobody's ever heard of. They stop them 71-0. So like at the end of the day, is making your bed really preparing you for the next chore? I don't know. Cause like, I'm just going to get, wait, here's the real question. When you're in a hotel or when you're at the Olympics, let's just say hotel room, do you make the bed?
Yeah, I make the bed.
What?
Psychopath.
My twin bed in the Olympic Village was made every single day. I actually picked up, a bed sheet like set from Walmart before we left. Because that was the only thing I feel like I could make feel like home was my bed. So I got like a whole floral sheet. It was a beautiful set, really beautiful floral sheet a floral comforter. And then I got like a dark green. Dark green is my favorite color. So I got a sheet set that was dark green. I brought my pillow from home and then I got a mattress topper. So everyone, I had the best bed in the village by far.
Well, this is the beauty of this show too, because you're a world-class athlete, gold medalist, done incredible things, you know, physical, things that are beyond like anything we could ever dream of. And here we are, two guys, and we're just like, no way would we make our bed. You like, fucking loser.
We're like, you're an idiot. Why?
Like, dude, be like us. Just leave your bed. I don't like sheets. I don't sleep with sheet, like the top sheet. I hate it. I just sleep with a blanket.
That's why
I don't do the bed, make the bed thing.
Oh, I hate it too, but I had to adapt because my wife is like obsessed with the whole, dude, we have two sheets.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
How have you not strangled yourself? I would die if I had two sheets. You'd see me and I'd just be in a cocoon of sheets because I'm a very like violent sleeper. Yeah.
It's heavy. If you go to like adjust during the night or you go to pull the sheets up, you're straining a little bit. Like, you have to really work. You have to earn your sheets at night. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'd rather just have the comforter and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I made that switch about like 2 months ago, changed my life to going just comforter.
Oh,
life.
I've been it all my
so
life.
So you've got two sheets. Are they the same sheet, or is there a light sheet, heavy sheet?
I forget what she calls it, but we have the comforter, the big boy, and then there's like a little decorative blanket, which is, it's kind of stupid as well. So comforter, and then there's like a white sheet, and then we have the thin sheet, and then the body, the human body, and then the the fitted sheet.
Okay.
Way too many sheets.
So this actually kind of makes sense because you making your bed is actually like an accomplishment. That's a lot of things. So now I get it. Like actually, that actually is a legit thing that you're doing. You probably have to stretch before you make your bed. You got to like really bend over and don't use your back too much. I get it now. I get it. It's like going to the gym is making your bed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a task, man. It's like, I mean, it takes some time. If I'm being honest, it was a lot easier to pitch this make your bed thing when I was like in my own queen bed and only had one sheet on the bed. It was much easier, but yeah. I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
It's a chore.
All right. I got a question that I don't want you to take it in a morbid way, but it has a morbid, it's kind of morbid, but Caleb Dressel, you're out on a boat, your boat capsizes. How many miles away from shore can you swim back and survive? If you're 5 miles away, let's say water temperature is not an issue. Can you still survive?
Is this just strictly off of how far I can go, or do I have to watch for sharks or anything like that?
Let's say a couple sharks.
There's one shark.
Yeah, one shark. You don't know when.
But he's hungry.
Yeah.
Like a nurse shark? Or
no, it's a bull shark. He's hungry, but he's only got one eye.
Mm-hmm. He's got, and his fin got hit by a propeller last month, so he swims a little weird.
And you cut your nails too close, so one of your nails has
a little
bit of blood coming out, just a little.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I could make it. I could go 10 miles.
10 miles? So 12 miles, you're dead.
Miles. 12 miles, I'm dead. 11 miles, I'm dead, yeah.
Okay.
10 miles is a really long way.
It is, but if it's just on survival, I mean, I wouldn't enjoy it. I'm not saying this is something I would enjoy, but if it's just on survival alone, if the shark wasn't there, I think I definitely could do way more, but that's the only sketchy part.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the shark might get tired too.
Yeah. True.
You should actually do that. You know how like Michael Phelps did the bullshit, I'm going to outswim a shark in Shark Week? You should actually be like, hey, I'm Caleb Dressel. I can swim 50 meters faster than a shark and get in the pool with a shark.
Watch me get it. Hey, I'm Caleb Dressel. Watch me die right now is essentially what the show would be.
I mean,
I'd watch.
Not to be that morbid, but I'd definitely tune in.
Like, I like you, but I'd watch.
So we did get more. It wasn't very morbid.
Yes.
Question.
Yeah. I think we could probably – I think if I were – I'd have to be probably about 300 yards from shore. Otherwise, I'd be like, all right, see you. That was, I had a good run, and just slowly sink to the bottom.
I mean, 300, that's still pretty far.
Oh, you think it's more like 100 yards?
No, 300 is a really long way to swim. Once I can't touch the floor, yeah.
Once I'm a good swimmer.
If I can't feel the bottom of the sea, I'm like, well, I'm dead. That's fine.
All right, so next question. How long can you hold your breath?
Okay, so this is like, I get this question a lot. It's mainly from little kids. I'm not trying to knock you. It's mainly from little kids. I always tell them
By the way, that wasn't an insult. Like, that's kind of what we do, is we just ask little kid questions.
So, normally what I tell them is like, oh, not that long, because I don't want to say a number. And then they come back and they try to do it. And I'm like, I have little kids passing out because they're trying to hold their breath as long as me.
I promise I won't try to do whatever number you say.
I will.
So listen to this. So I read this book. Have you heard of a guy called Wim Hof?
Yes. The breathing techniques. He goes in like cold water and shit.
So listen, I went through a phase where I tried it out, and I mean, I loved it. And I did his technique one day. I was about to fall asleep. I was like, I did the whole technique. I was like, I'm just gonna try holding my breath. Dude, I made it 5 minutes and 6 seconds.
What?
Yeah. And the scariest part is I felt fine. That, and I was like, dude, I need to take a breath. 5 minutes. Yeah. Oh my God. 5 minutes, 6 seconds is my record.
And you just quit because you were bored, yeah, not because you were done holding your breath.
Yeah, honestly, the worst part wasn't my heart rate or that I needed to breathe. It was there was so much air in my lungs that my throat started to hurt from like kinking it off. So it like that was the worst part. Was my throat hurt?
That's insane. Holy shit,
is actually crazy. Yeah.
So you feel like a superhuman? Do you feel like a superhuman?
I scared myself doing that for sure. Yeah, because I was like, this isn't that was not normal. I remember looking at the clock at 3 minutes and I'm feeling fine. I was like, well, I'll go a little longer. And I looked again; it was 5 minutes. I was like, I got to stop. Yeah.
Damn. So that one scared me. When you swim the 50 meters, you don't take a breath right the entire time. That's easy for you.
Well, no, it's a lot different when you're laying in your bed and then when you're, you know, exerting every muscle in your body going all out for a length of the pool. So I'm out of breath after the 50. I wouldn't say it's hard. I mean, I can make it a couple more meters, but you're definitely you're gassed after the 50 for sure.
Well, since you are an Olympic swimmer, I think we have to ask you a question about your diet and how many calories you get to eat during a day. I'm sure you've never been asked that question before, but just like, can you tell us how awesome it is to eat all that food and give me an example of like, you know, on a heavy day of training, what are you allowed to eat?
Yeah, I mean, I know I can get away. If I'm being honest, I can eat anything I want, but I don't do that. The way I view it in high school, I did that. I ate terrible in high school. But I'm at the age now to where what I put in my body is what I'm going to get out. You're not going to put, you know, lawnmower fuel in a race car. What I'm putting in is what I need to get out for my body. So I try to eat. You know, morning is going to be heavy carbs, fuel me throughout the day. Lunch, about half protein, half carbs. And then dinner is going to be primarily protein. So I stick to that basic schedule. And then throughout there, you know, the cleanest proteins I can get, cleanest carbs I can get. So the morning is going to be a lot of fruit, you know, bagels, stuff like that. I eat a lot. That's the only hard part is some days I call it, I just need some dirt. So some days I got to go to Five Guys. Some days I gotta crush a box of Reese's. Like some days I need that. Like I think that's actually the best fit for me. Like my body lets me know when I need calories. Because you'll finish a whole meal and you're just sitting there and it feels like you haven't eaten anything. So it's annoying because I have to eat for two. Like I when I go out to dinners with Megan, like I have to order two meals. When she cooks, it's basically like cooking for a family. So it is annoying. Like I like to eat, but I wish it could just be normal quantities. But I do eat healthy. I take a lot of pride in that, knowing that I'm not just fueling my body with trash. And then a bunch of supplements.
So this is where we actually are kind of the same, but I, much like you, could have gone, you went 5 minutes without breathing. I can eat a full meal, feel full, and keep eating. So I do feel full, but then I just power through that feeling of, hey, you're good, and just keep on eating. That's the genius that we do. Yeah.
Yeah, you're just fueling your body even more. And we're all athletes here. You know, you don't want to give your body something it doesn't need, you know?
I'm the guy at the pump who doesn't realize that there's no restrictor and he's just gas flowing out of his car because he's over full.
You know what you should do? You should psych out like the next generation of swimmers, like your future competition, and you should post on Instagram like twice a week, like, all right, cheat day, and have just a picture of like 7 giant pizzas and tell everybody that's what you eat. Then people will copy your diet. Mm-hmm. They'll get really slow. Mm-hmm. You'll continue your reign as a champion.
Well, I do have cheat days. Like some day, like yes, mainly throughout the week, it's going to be a lot of seafood, a lot of salmon, a lot of chicken. But then some days, dude, I need a cheeseburger. That's my only option in that moment. Some days I need Five Guys. Sometimes I need a milkshake from Culver's. Like it's very, it's very obvious when I need it. Like, yeah. I'll get home and I know immediately on the way home, I'm like, this is what I need. I need the dirt.
But your cheat day is like what I do when I take the stairs to my apartment one time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've earned this.
Lunch. Yeah, Five Guys for lunch.
I'm saying like four pizzas, three milkshakes, have just like a giant bowl of frosted mini wheats for health in the picture. And then everybody behind you will start to like copy your diet because it's like, oh, I want to swim as fast as Caleb. And next thing you know, it's like the entire – all your competition is fat at that point. So good
just
for you.
Just an idea. Yeah, just an idea.
That's actually – it's really not a bad idea. Just weed them out. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, I have my last question. So you can watch Caleb this weekend, Saturday, on CBS, the ISL from Naples, Italy. He's about to hop on a flight. So you had some good comments about – the mental toll that the Tokyo Olympics took and how taxing it was. Now, like, kind of a serious question, but can you maybe put into words what we as viewers don't really understand about this level of athleticism and this level of sport that we kind of take for granted? And when we criticize or we do the hot takes, we're not really understanding the mental toll that goes into everything to win 7 gold medals.
Yeah, I mean, when people are turning on the TV to watch the Olympics, you know, I want to put on a good show. I want to swim fast. I want to represent my country the best I can. When someone's watching the TV, that's what they want to watch. They want to see something exciting. So I don't expect everyone to understand the complete opposite side of everything. If someone doesn't want to buy into that, that's fine. If they want to turn on the TV and watch me swim, turn it off. Great. So I don't expect everyone to understand the ins and outs of this sport. How I work and operate, because I don't think it's fair. Not everyone wants to deal with that. But since you asked, there is a whole separate side of the sport that when the cameras are off, I mean, it's brutal. You know, I've said in interviews before, I mean, I love competing. I really do. But that week of, if it's a world championships or an Olympic games, I mean, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. You're putting your body through some of the most demanding physical tasks that you can ask for, back-to-back swims. On top of that, you're not in your own room, your own bed, your own diet. You've been eating the same athlete dining food for a month, which was great. But you eat it anywhere for a month, you're going to be sick of it. And then the mental side of having to answer media questions, having to understand that this guy wants to beat you as bad as you want to beat him, that no race is a given. You know, right after the race, I get done swimming. You have to walk through the media zone for 15 minutes. So you can't even go down, warm down right away. So you're out of breath, huffing and puffing, trying to answer. I mean, you saw the interview questions where you can't even understand the swimmers because you're just sitting there trying to catch your breath. You know, not being able to sleep at night, just the nerves are up and running. You know, when I get nervous, I don't eat. Some people are the opposite and they overeat. So there's a lot, but I'm not going to go and tell everyone this. If they want to watch me perform and they find it exciting when I swim fast, I'll do that. I love putting on a show, but there's definitely a flip side. I mean, this whole year, more so than any year, I mean, I've been lifting in my strength coach's garage for a year and a half. You know, our weight room at University of Florida hasn't been open. That, and then getting married, moving into a new house, you know, this whole year has been, there's been a lot of unknowns, and then you're throwing COVID on top of that. You know, I can't tell you how many times my head's been buried in Megan's chest this whole year, just with how frustrating the sport can get, you know, trying to find every little detail, my diet, how much I'm sleeping at night. You know, I'm not fun every day to be around in practice. My goal is not to have a good time when I'm there. It's to get better. And if you're my teammate and you're not expecting that as well from yourself, then I'm not going to be fun to be around. I'm there to get better. I'm not there to have a good time. Now, most of the time I'm, of course, enjoying myself. So how invested I am in practice and then making sure I'm taking the right supplements, making sure I'm recovering with acupuncture, massage. I mean, every little detail that hones into one moment, one week of your life for a meet that goes on every 4 years. Yeah, it'll get your heart rate up and it'll make you shake a little bit.
It's a great answer. And it's kind of what I was looking for, because I'm count me as part of the, I turn on swimming once every 4 years and don't understand what goes into it.
And we're just like screaming at our TV, swim faster.
Yeah, right.
That's as much as
you're hot, Caleb. You look really hot.
And then, No, and that's fine. Like, I'm not expecting everyone to know my life story. I'm not expecting them to know the hardships that go through it. That's what I get to experience. That's where I get to learn about myself. That's why I'm still in the sport, is I enjoy the challenges. The valleys and the mountaintops, all of them come together to where you can learn a lot about yourself and you can find things to move forward in the sport. That's for me. That's why it doesn't matter if there's not a camera on me at all times, so people understand, like, oh, that's why he didn't go a world record in this event or whatever. I'm not expecting him. If you want to turn in a TV, watch me swim a couple laps and turn it off, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and all that stuff that you mentioned that we don't get to see, like, you know, being in isolation, having to work out in your strength coach's garage, putting your body through hell for, you know, weeks and weeks at a time when you're getting ready for a competition, none of that sounds as bad to me as making your bed every morning. So you deserve all the accolades. You do put yourself through hell.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still enjoying the sport, though. Like I said, I'm doing it for the challenges. This sport has taught me a lot about myself. I'm capable of more than I think. I think everybody is. That's my biggest thing in the sport. If I can pitch that to someone, they're capable of something great. It's probably not in the pool. I don't want everyone to be swimmers. That would be so boring. And I think that would suck for the world population. I think we're greater. We're capable of something greater than we think, you know, and swimming has certainly taught me that.
I love it. I love it. Oh, last real quick. We have a guy who's on the show. He's not here today. He's like, kind of his hobby is stolen valor. And he was talking about possibly getting the Olympic rings tattoo, even though he's never been to the Olympics. Would you, if you saw him with the Olympic rings tattoo, would you say, like, hey, would you compete in?
No, probably not. Dude, I've had people ask me, because my rings are on my forearm. Like, I'm checking out at Publix and like, hey, like, are you a big fan? I'm like, well, technically, yeah. Did she asked me this. And I was like, well, technically, yeah. I was like, yeah, I am a fan. And I just left it at that. So, yeah, okay. Maybe he's just a fan. I guess you can do it.
Perfect.
That's such
perfect.
A flex.
Well, Caleb, thank you so much. Congratulations on all your success. It was awesome to watch you in Tokyo. Everyone tune in on Saturday, CBS. And we appreciate it, man. And anytime you're in New York City, come by the office.
All right, I can do that, boys.
All right,
see you, man. Caleb was brought to you by our friends over at New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam is a premium 80-proof vodka made from some of the finest quality grains from America's heartland. It's 5 times distilled to get unparalleled smoothness. It's filtered 3 times for a clean, crisp finish. Whether you're drinking on the rocks or if you're taking a shot with friends, New Amsterdam Vodka will always have the ultra-smooth finish. Go to your local liquor store, pick some up. I love New Amsterdam Vodka. You know what I've started making recently? I've been doing vodka sodas with a little bit of lime in it. Low carb, it's healthy, and still get a nice little buzz going off it. I call it PMT. That's the PMT, T-E-A, is just a vodka soda with a squirt of lime in it. That's all you need. Or you can drink a Pink Whitney. Support our guys over at Spit and Chicklets. We love New Amsterdam Vodka. It is the official vodka of Barstool Sports.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on Pac-Man Jones. He is fighting at Rough and Rowdy tonight. We're going to tape this. We're going to run it on Friday. So it's tonight. Go buy it right now. Buyrnr.com. I'll be on the call. He's fighting Bobby Lang, our heavyweight champion. Pac-Man, good to have you on. How are you feeling ahead of this fight that I'll tell you right now, I think you're going to get knocked out.
All right, well, that's your opinion. And you can bet some smack rules on it if you want. You want to bet 1,000 push-ups?
1,000 push-ups?
Or you want to bet $1,000?
All right, I'll bet.
1,000 push-ups or $1,000?
I'll bet you $1,000. So just, I mean, all now right. I gotta make sure that the Penn people don't get mad at me that I'm just throwing this bet out there, but
I think this is like one of those scenarios where it's college game day and you're Kirk Herbstreit. I don't think you're allowed.
I'm not allowed to say.
I'll bet you $1,000 of Big Cat's money.
All right, it's a deal.
All right, so he'll win. I'm saying Bobby Lang will win.
All right, I'm saying Bobby Lang will not win.
You bring your cash Friday night, and so tell me why you think you're going to win. I know you played in the NFL, that little league.
Tell me why you think Bobby Lang going to win.
Because I've seen him fight. He's a good fighter. He throws bombs. And,
have you ever seen me fight?
No. Well, all right,
so
no.
Check the fuck
up, then. I have video. Yeah.
Yeah. The airport.
Yeah. Y'all seen a video of me in the airport with $200,000 in my book bag with my whole family when I really didn't want to fight.
Yeah. Although, you know, an airport is actually like the safest place in the world to fight because there's, you know, all the TSA that goes into it. You know that nobody has a weapon on them.
where I was fighting TSA.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good point.
They have all the weapons that they've confiscated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell us, though, how has training gone? Like, I mean, I know you're obviously an incredible athlete, played in the NFL for a very long time, but boxing is different. Have you, in your training, have you noticed how hard it is? Do you have any boxing in your background, anything like that?
The training was very hard. You know, I got a lot of respect for anybody who's trying to be a boxer, you know, getting up, running 3-4 miles a day, core. You know what I mean? Doing workouts that you don't get to stop for 20 minutes. The respect level for the boxers are out the roof. Not saying nothing against the brotherhood that I have with my football brothers. But the boxing shape is a lot different.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. This is kind of a home crowd for you, too, like West Virginia. You got a lot of fans out in West Virginia. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about either your entrance song that you're going to make into the ring or what that crowd's going to be like when you step out there?
Yeah, I've thought about all of it, but the main thing I'm thinking about is whooping Bobby.
Yeah.
Making sure my hand getting pulled up at the end of the belt and collecting my $1,000 now that I know between you guys.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I want to play Country Road when I get through. You know what I mean? Take me home.
Okay. I like it.
So what's your strategy? I mean, are you – like, here's the thing. With Rough and Rowdy, have you watched the Rough and Rowdy fights yet?
I've watched the fights.
Okay.
Nobody used the jab in Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah, no, it's chaos. 3 1-minute rounds is true chaos. So what's your counter to that chaos? Because you can train all you want, but once you get in there, if your opponent decides they're just going to start throwing bombs and you're going to throw them back, all the training goes out the window.
Well, that depends on how smart you are and how dumb you are. And I'm a professional, so I'm going to pick and choose my shots. And like I told you, Bobby is a bull, and I'm gonna be the bull master.
Ooh, okay, so you're gonna do a little Olay defense. Let him run by. Let him tire himself out. When was the last time though you got punched in your face?
Probably about 4 days ago when I was sparring.
Okay, how are you taking it?
I'm eating them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know y'all keep saying how tough Bobby is and all this. Anybody who get in there is tough, man. So, like, that shit is out the window. Like, everybody's tough. Have you got hit yet? Have you seen Bobby get hit with a good shot yet?
I don't know.
If you fucking been at every 5 fucking fight, he got hit the one time against the kid who had the knee messed up and almost fucking got knocked out of there in the 3rd round. Besides that, he haven't been fucking hit.
I do agree with you that anyone who steps into Rough and Rowdy is like, gets my immediate respect. Because
yeah, all them guys should get the respect if they got the nerve to jump in there.
Yeah,
like so this ain't for everybody.
So are you? Let me ask this. So Bobby Lang has the heavyweight championship. If you win this, are you going to keep fighting at Rough and Rowdy? Are you going to defend your title?
I love Rough and Rowdy. I think this is going to be my platform. Win or if they try to sneak it up out of me and not win, but I'm going to win the fight. But this is my first fight, man. Mm-hmm. I got a lot to learn. I got a lot to show y'all. So it's gonna be fun. So if you ask me, will this be my one and last fight? The answer is no.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of Bobby Lang fights, and I think that there is something to the fact that he comes out hard. He charges hard at the beginning, like you said. He's a bull. You're the bullfighter. By the time he's gotten to round 3, I think if you have better cardio than him, I think you definitely have the advantage the longer the fight goes. So is that how are you planning on being a bullfighter with a guy like Bobby Lang?
I'm gonna beat Bobby ass from the time the bell ring to the time the bell ends, bro.
Okay.
Period. Point blank.
I'm
ready.
And if you win this fight, I know that you called out Ocho Cinco a while back. It seemed like he was ducking you a little bit. Are you gonna call him out again?
I'm happy he was ducking me on that fight because I wasn't ready then. My hands were nowhere near the speed they are now. My feet is 10 times better. I'm gonna let my team figure that out, but I'm ready. Hey, Bobby.
So,
Adam, what's up, my man?
We got Bobby here.
Hey, hold on. Congratulations on the win, first, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We need bad blood. Don't say congratulations. Right. Bobby Lane did just get married last week, though. Congrats, Bobby.
Yeah. The bad blood Thank is you. What it is. When that bell rings, I'm going to whip his ass.
Yeah, so Bobby, so the one thing that I really want to address is Pac-Man just said that you've never been hit. He's like, you've never been hit. You've never been tested. He's basically calling you a pussy right now that, like, you've gone in and beaten inferior opponents. What are you going to do?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out, I fought Travis Terman, who weighed 270 pounds, and I got fucking blasted by his right hook in the first round. I fucking ate it. So to say I've never been hit, clearly you haven't been watching. That was the previous heavyweight champ.
The guy in the boots. The guy in the boots that you referenced.
Yeah.
He
hits like a fucking monster. And I fucking ate that.
All right, he don't hit like Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, well, I'm going to find out,
He don't hit like Pac-Man Jones. I can tell you, who blacked your eye before the other fight?
Say it again. I couldn't hear with that lip in your mouth.
When you were sparring, who blacked your eye before the other fight?
I fucking spar dudes all the time. I spar all wicked good boxers. All right,
just remember that same feeling come goddamn Friday night at 7, 8, whatever time we fight.
Hey, if you don't get a black eye, then you aren't really fighting. So I could care less. I don't care if I leave with fucking two black eyes. They're not going to matter.
Black
eye. Bobby, Pac-Man.
Right, well, if I give your ass a black eye, it's going to be shit.
Bobby, Pac-Man said he was going to whoop your ass from the time that the bell rung until the time the fight was over. What's your strategy? He says that you're a bull, but he's a bullfighter. Bobby, what's your call? Give me a prediction here, Bobby. Hey,
listen, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So it's been working the last five times. I think I'm going to stick to the same strategy as the last five and see how it goes. What, Pac-Man, how about you? What's your plan?
Not to do what the other last time motherfucker.
What if you? You gonna do the same thing you did to that guy in the airport?
Hey, did you hear me? Hey,
no,
did
I couldn't hear you.
What I just told you?
No, I couldn't hear you.
Not to do what the last five motherfuckers did.
Okay. Well, Pac-Man.
I said. Hello, can you hear me though? Hold on. Yes. Let me finish my fucking statement. Can you hear me, Bobby?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
I won't do what the last five motherfuckers did. I can promise you that.
What, lose?
Yeah.
Well, not if I have anything to say about that.
All right. I have a question. My last question. Bobby, so when you were in the office a couple weeks ago, you were looking skinny. So for people who don't know, Pac-Man put in a clause. I think it was officially the pussy clause. He said that Bobby has to be 175 pounds at weigh-in. What?
Hold on. Who is this? What's your name again?
Big Cat. Bobby, before you hopped on, I bet Pac-Man $1,000 you'd win.
Hold on.
Okay.
Did you realize?
All that pussy shit, keep that to yourself. Before you don't make it to get the call to fight now. All the pussy claws and all that shit, you keep that to yourself and to your girlfriends. But when you're talking to grown men, keep that pussy shit to yourself.
Okay.
You ain't heard me. You might have to hire me as a full-time bodyguard.
You ain't heard me call nobody no pussy, no bitches. So keep that to yourself, because I'm really about what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, listen.
What the fuck do you have to say?
I'm trying to sell fights, Pac-Man, and you're sitting here being like, I'm going to try my best.
When you sell your fights, nigga, you better talk with respect, or you won't be hosting this motherfucker come tomorrow.
Okay, all right. So there's a clause in there.
Yeah,
I won't
there you
say
go.
What
that
it is.
You
I
can
won't
say,
say
the weight. I put a weight clause in there at 175.
Yeah,
that's what fucking professionals do. Now go ahead and say what the fuck.
All right, so how much do you weigh right now, Pac-Man?
Right now, I weigh 177.
And how much do you weigh, Bobby?
I just got on the scale, 176.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
I'm good. I'm already right where I need to be. I'll be 175 pounds tomorrow at the weigh-in. No big deal. I agreed to 175. I know you guys are shitting on Pac-Man for it.
All right.
I agreed
so
to
all
175,
that other shit don't
so
even
I no
matter.
Problem
if he agreed to it, he knew what he was getting himself into.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I agreed to 175. It's all good. I get no hot feelings about it.
Do you think
175? It is what it is.
Do you think Pac-Man was a little scared when he put that clause in?
Well, here's the thing. I've fought multiple guys that had a ton of weight on me. I fought
Bobby,
a guy
you ain't got to answer that question. You know I ain't goddamn scared because I took the fucking fight. Come on, bro. That's next He's, fucking yeah, question.
No, listen, I'll give you that. We're fighting. It's happening Friday night. You know what I mean? There's no more talking about it. It's happening Friday night. So
yes,
he's clearly not scared. He's going to be there. I'm going to be there. You guys already know what I bring to the ring. This is his first fight. We're going to see what he brings too, but like I said, I'm 5-0 for a reason. So I don't win fights by accident. So I'm ready for this fucking fight. So
yes,
let's do it Friday night.
Woo! All right.
Let me get one last final prediction from both of you. Pac-Man. Pac-Man, when's it going to end and how's it going to end?
With my hand up like this, new champ right here. Making jokesters up too. And no hard feelings. Hey, Bobby, you can keep that heavyweight shit, but that other belt, I'm getting one of them belts. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Well, that's what I'm talking about. And what I'm telling y'all is, goddamn it, Friday night, whatever fucking time we fight, we shake hands after the fight. But when we get in that motherfucking ring, it's time to do what to do, baby.
War mode. There you go, Pac-Man. Thank you. We're trying to sell these fights. Get some animosity
going. Yeah, let's motherfucking go. Let's sell it, then, because I'm ready.
Hey, Big Cat, this fight's going to sell itself.
I've been waiting.
We don't even say anything.
Looking at Bobby's face, and that ain't no hard feelings. And you know what I mean? It is what it is. But it's time to put these motherfucking gloves on them.
Okay.
All the talking, all the this and that. Buy the motherfucking tickets because I'm telling y'all, Friday, August 27th is gonna be a fucking show. Y'all ain't seen it yet.
See, that's the thing. This is not personal to me at all. Same, just like what Pac-Man did.
Hell no. This is like me going playing against
Pittsburgh. This is business to me. This is a fucking business trip. That's all it is to me. Fucking business. I come down there to win fights. I don't care who I'm fighting. You're obviously the biggest name I've gotten so far, but guess what? It's going to end the same way as the last five. I don't go down there to lose.
Shit,
I'm going down there to fucking win just like I do every time.
I'm on the way to the right now.
Showing up his cards.
Hey, I've been in business trips my whole fucking life, man. My whole life has been business trips. The fuck are y'all talking about? My whole fucking life have been business trips.
All right, so Bob. Oh, did you just hang up, Bob? Bobby, what's your prediction?
My whole life have been business trips. Like I tell y'all, it ain't personal. This a business trip for me. Same way when I lace this shit up and go against play against Pittsburgh, motherfucker, whoever else you want to name, A, B, T, O, whatever, it's a business trip. And one thing about me, I always handle my business.
Okay. So, Bobby, what's your prediction?
All right. I just think that I'm a better boxer than him straight up, and I'm just going to outbox him.
But you ain't going to box me, Bobby. You're going to try to rush me, and I got some for that shit. I got some for that shit, baby boy.
Let me know if you still feel that way.
All that rushing shit. You don't have a jab. When have you hit you ain't hit nobody with no jab. Ain't nobody referee out hit nobody with no jab. You got an overhand right, and then you try to grab behind the head and with the uppercut. Besides that, you ain't got shit, bro.
Yeah, well, listen.
But a lot of heart. You got a lot of heart. You got a lot of heart. You got
you never
got
seen
a lot
what
of heart,
I can do now.
Fight hard and all that. I like all that, but everybody going to do that when they're in the motherfucking fight. Anybody. If you ain't fighting hard, you don't need to be in that motherfucker anyway.
All right. Well, August 27th, Friday night, when you're listening to this, it's tonight. Tune in, Pac-Man Jones, Bobby Lang. Go buy the Rough and Rowdy, buy RNR.com.
Wait. Pac-Man's entire family has been behind this whole time that he's been talking shit to Bobby Lang. I love it.
See, I don't go nowhere without my family.
This
a business trip, man.
You know what I'm saying?
We're going to be suited and booted and locked and loaded, and we're going to be deep as a motherfucker. Everybody going to be there. You better believe that.
I love
it. My company support me at all times.
Well, I'm excited, so good luck to both of you.
Me too. Have my goddamn money after the fight.
Make sure you have my money.
Right. Matter of fact, we'll talk when we get there. That's what we'll do.
Okay. Great.
I'll be there in about an hour and a half at the stadium, so I'll see you there.
All right, perfect. You'll see me. I got the coat on. I'm singing the national anthem. You're going to be moved to tears while I sing it. And then,
your voice five times. It's very angelic.
Yes, exactly. Bobby's heard it, so it's going to be a great night.
Bobby heard it five times. He'll hear it five more times, but it won't be on the fucking winner's side.
There we go. Yeah. All right, boys. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys on Friday night.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right, thanks
guys.
For having me on.
Appreciate it. Okay, let's get into our Mount Rushmore.
That fight's going to be crazy tonight, by the way.
Oh, yes. Go buy it. Rough and Rowdy 15. Also, I'll be part of the broadcast on Showtime on Sunday night for Jake Paul Tyron Woodley.
If Pac-Man kills you, how are we split? Do I get Stella?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Sure. Cool. Yeah.
Like Bobby Lang hits so hard, but Pac-Man is just such a freak athlete. It really is a.
It's going to be great. Kelly
no,
was.
No one knows what's going to happen.
Kelly was actually worried for me after that interview. I think we're good. I think me and Pac-Man are good.
Shout out to Kelly.
Unless he loses, then maybe we're not good.
Because
mm-hmm. then he owes $1,000.
So, are you going to bring it in a briefcase?
I am. I'm going to bring it not in a briefcase.
A briefcase full of ones would be nice, though.
Oh, that would be a classy touch. That would be a very classy touch. All right. Before we get to our Mount Rushmore, Cross Country Mortgage, go check them out. If you're looking to buy a home, refinance a home, Cross Country Mortgage is the place to go. They're people first people. We cannot recommend them enough. So check out Cross Country Mortgage. They will walk you through the whole process. Even if you're not trying to buy a home right this second, they can tell you how you can get ready. If you are trying to buy a home right this second, they will work to make sure that you get through the finish line. There's a lot of stuff that goes into getting a mortgage, but they can handle it for you. Rates are at all-time low. They may never get this low again, so call today for a fast free rate quote. Our partners will save you a lot of money, and call today. Our friends at Cross Country Mortgage will give you a free home valuation that is free just for calling. Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool to learn more about your future home buying experience or refinance your current mortgage. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029, all loans subject to underwriting approval, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Okay, Mount Rushmore of rom-coms, but there are no Judd Apatow movies allowed.
Give me an 8.
17.
18.
72.
By the way, I went into a free agency today, picked up Memes.
Oh, that's Memes right.
Got a tag
here.
Team.
All right, so everyone knows Pardon My Memes. He actually is part of the team now. So we're very excited. He's been with us for a little bit. 36. What was everyone's picks?
I said 8.
I said 17.
I said 18.
Oh.
So you get to decide the order.
Memes, are you confident in that 1-1?
Welcome, Memes. Say something in the mic, Memes, for the people.
Hello.
All right, Trey. Nice. That was awesome. Oh, Memes.
While you guys are deciding, Billy sent me his list if he had done it. So
no, you can't say it now.
Yeah, don't say it
okay,
now.
Okay, wait. Yeah. I guarantee you nobody had any of these
that would have been
on their list.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. But, Hank, anything to say about the Mount Rushmore?
I'm happy.
Yeah, me and Bubba have won the last two by extremely narrow margins.
So yeah.
I'm proud of us. Little stat from PMT Stats and Info. We've won 5 of the last 9 Mount Rushmores since then, 1/3 and 3/4 in the 5 previous Mount Rushmores. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Crushing it.
On a hot streak.
You guys.
What?
Good job.
Oh, no, I didn't know if this is where you guys were. We've been throwing it.
No. Right. Not throwing anything.
Not throwing anything at all.
I don't need to throw anything.
I've maybe been throwing it. Maybe.
We get a lot of
accusations that I'm throwing it because my picks have been bad for the last
Here's
2 weeks.
Actually a little anecdote. This is a fun little story today.
I was
in the office.
Awful, and it's time for me to make a change. I've been disappointing myself more than anyone, so I made a little change in today's picks.
Yeah, right. I was in the office talking to Westy. He works for the sports book. It's kind of like not where we usually sit. It's a little separate side of the office. It's a little by the windows, so if you were walking by, you wouldn't expect me to be there type of thing. I'm talking to him, and I look to my left, and I see Rhea and Fran walking to go do their show, and all of a sudden PFT yells, "Hey, Rhea and Fran, come here." And then I look to my left, and they were huddling in. PFT was like, "I've done really."
Interesting.
It was one of those things where the conversation happened. I saw it all happen, and then PFT after realized I was standing right there after he asked them for help.
But you have no idea what we talked about. It could have been anything.
Right.
We should also have it on the record that PFT didn't want to have voting this year, so don't make fun of him if he has bad votes.
No, I thought that it was something that we should have discussed at the start of the year, whether or not to have voting, because we used to have voting.
Well,
but
what?
Listen,
yeah. No, we've always had voting.
I've always had voting.
I've got my own list.
But
any comments on picking an iceberg for a fictional villain?
Yeah, I'm an iceberg truther. I don't think the iceberg actually existed. I think it
got it.
No other ship has collapsed at a free fall after running into an iceberg in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
It up. Yeah, you could also just not care about how the votes finish out.
Oh, I actually don't care, but I wanted to do a better showing for myself.
Got it. Okay, what's the order?
Hank's gonna lead off, and we'll go this way.
All right, let's do it. Here we go. Mount Rushmore rom-coms.
Sorry, Hubba's going to lead off.
If you're looking for something, so I'm the only one who's going solo in this.
No, I'm going officially. Solo. I made my own choices.
Liam and Hank versus Jake and Memes versus me versus PFT, Glenny Balls, Rhea and Fran.
Listen, I'm making my own picks.
I will stay true to the AWLs. I will just go from what I know.
This is a legit list that I came up with.
Well, I'm a man of my word.
It's yeah, no, you're fine. Anyway, everyone's making
I'm
super teams.
I'm doing this because you asked.
I'm Giannis
doing,
now.
I'm, only
I'm picking, doing it the right way.
I'm only
way.
Even involved in this yeah. to make you happy. So
yeah,
this is
that's
really
true.
All
that
because
is
of
true.
You. And 1-1.
This also is a tough Mount Rushmore. I've not seen a lot of movies. So I'm going to do the same thing I did last time. I'm not going to give you a movie I have not seen.
Crazy Stupid Love.
There we go. Pick. I don't think I've seen that.
I had that on my list.
It's a great movie. Obviously, with rom-coms.
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling,
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
It's good. I actually love rom-coms, so I'm going to watch it.
Marissa Tomei, Kevin Bacon.
I have an older sister, obviously, like, have dated girls in the past. Usually, rom-coms are something that they get thrown on. You watch begrudgingly. This is one of those movies that's an actual good movie that I watch on my own and enjoy.
Okay. Great. Great pick.
All right, Memes, you want to make your first career pick?
I don't actually know the movie, but great pick.
It's You should watch it.
I know. I'm going to watch it. This is
choice.
Actually, we're doing the AWLs, the all AWLs, but especially ones in a relationship, whether male or female. There's nothing better than popping in a rom-com for a little date night. It's the best. Okay, Memes.
All right, we're going to go 10 Things I Hate About You.
Good choice.
Okay.
That's another solid
movie. I hate that movie.
My one.
You hate it?
Really?
Why do you hate 10 Things I Hate About You?
So it's 11 things you hate?
It's like, well, I don't know.
It's a great movie.
Again, it's one of those things where I've seen it a lot. I don't know if it's because my sister liked it and watched it a lot or like whatever, but every time I watched it, I was always like, I don't want to be watching this.
Okay.
Based on a Shakespeare play.
I had that on my list. All right. Othello? No.
Emma?
Macbeth.
Emma.
No, Taming of the Shrew. Taming of the Shrew.
Okay, my first one is going to be my one's still there. The breakup.
Okay,
I love that movie.
Good
it's a great
choice,
movie. Vince Vaughn, Jennifer Aniston,
Chicago.
You can't get better than that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Vince Vaughn at his height, kind of like that was when it was really Vince Vaughn was crushing it.
That's one of the most quotable. What happens at the end though? Do they get back together? We don't know.
I'd like to as a optimist. I'd like to say they got back together.
Okay, I've actually got my first two picks that I had before consulting, and I think you'll tell by the age of these movies
okay.
that these are my picks. 1-1 When Harry Met Sally.
Who directed that?
Rob Reiner.
Okay, got it.
Was that a test to see if I've seen When Harry Met Sally?
No, I can't. I honestly don't know if I've seen that movie.
And it was,
I get confused by all these
it
movies.
It was Rob Reiner's mom that said, I'll have what she's having.
Got it.
Number two, Pretty Woman.
Mm.
Pretty
Never
Woman,
seen that
great
one.
Julia Roberts,
yep.
Richard Gere.
I had it on my list. I had it on my list.
Big mistake. Huge.
Had it on my list. All right. I'll probably get some pushback with this, but game on. I think Wedding Crashers. That's a rom-com in
That's
my mind.
That's a bromantic comedy. That's
it's a rom-com.
It's mostly a story about two bros increasing their
It's
romance.
Really, though,
and crushing puss.
The major arc, though, is when Owen Wilson meets the chick, and then the entire movie's about that as a central, like, plot.
I will let you use that pick. I will just prompt this question, and you can let me know. Do you think that more males or females like that movie?
I think it's, well...
Hank, your misogyny is showing a little bit.
I think everyone likes that movie.
Like, dudes can't like romantic comedies, Hank?
No, they can. I just, you know,
but
let's be honest.
To me, a romantic comedy
let's call
is like
spade a spade.
No, to me, a romantic comedy is there's a relationship that's the central plot point that like everything comes off.
We're talking about Day Night. If a dude is like, let's watch Wedding Crashers, you think the girl is going to be like, fuck yes? Or
I think they would
like,
watch
this is
it.
A bro,
yeah.
This is a bro movie.
So maybe it leans one way or the other, but
we'll allow. But we'll
if you guys don't want it, we can throw it out.
No,
I think
just,
it is,
I'm just
but
asking,
I, we
I'm
can
just
throw
asking.
It out.
Well,
we
no,
can throw
fine.
It out.
It's all about the
we'll
debate.
Let the listeners judge.
Okay.
Embrace debate.
All right.
Embrace debate. Yeah.
Because I was thinking about it again. I haven't seen a ton of movies. I need to see more movies. But I was thinking about it, and Owen Wilson does meet her pretty quickly in the movie. It's within the first 15 minutes.
Not
and,
after all those. Fucking
yeah, I mean, there's the montage at the beginning, but then after that,
yeah.
that is the
no, they fuck.
Like even Vince Vaughn's Shout. Side thing is not really that's not really anything like you know what I mean.
The main Painting driver the main
yeah.
driver becomes
yes.
Owen Wilson not killing
and,
himself.
And when they go the real moment of like rom com is when they're on the bikes in the fucking meadow. And they're you know
yeah.
doing the whole
the
scene.
Time, we
yeah, nice. Right. Exactly. Great yep. scene. All right.
We're going to go with 50 First Dates.
Okay.
Good one.
Good pick.
Nice.
I'm going to go. I'm surprised this one made it this far. Princess Bride.
Yeah.
All right.
I had it on there.
Great movie. Mm-hmm. Another one that's just a fantastic movie start to finish.
I have a confession about Princess Bride.
Uh-oh. You've never seen it?
As you wish.
I I occasionally will quote it, and I've never seen it.
Wow.
That's inconceivable.
I know
nice.
That one.
Nice.
Marriage. That,
inconceivable.
That one. I do not think you think the word means what it means.
You should watch it. It's very good.
Was it, I am somebody you killed my father, prepare to die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Inigo Montoya. Inigo Montoya.
I loved him in Homeland. But yeah, that's, it's, I think, everybody out there has a movie like that or some piece of pop culture that they actually haven't consumed.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. I got blasted for that.
I've never seen Home Alone.
No, but I'm saying they all have one like that that they haven't consumed, but they still quote like they have seen it.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I will go with McConaughey, Fool's Gold.
Okay.
He's a rom-com staple.
Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's a classic.
I got a lot of movies I got to watch.
Here's the plot. Matthew McConaughey is searching for buried treasure.
Shirtless.
And his the girl in the movie is trying to get him to take life more seriously, but he's committed to the treasure. And then he starts to commit to taking life more seriously, but then the treasure comes into play. And Kevin Hart's the bad guy.
Whoa.
Very intimidating.
No. It is.
Okay.
Extremely intimidating.
Jake, memes?
We are a sports podcast, so we're going to go with Fever Pitch.
Okay. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Okay.
Although I don't... I think... I personally like that movie a lot, and I would have just, like, always been like, that's a great movie, and then as I'm starting to work in Barcelona and become more of an adult, I've learned that, like, people hate it.
It had bad reviews, but I still think it's good.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I also think, and this isn't me just saying it because I picked The Breakup, but I do think you get bonus points when you pick a rom-com and then the two characters actually dated in real life afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jennifer Aniston, Vince Vaughn, Drew Barrymore, and Jimmy Fallon. Like,
Outer Banks.
Actually started dating. Right, right. Outer Banks. If we did rom-com shows, that would be number one. All right. I love this movie. I truly love this movie, High Fidelity. High Fidelity, John Cusack.
Never seen it.
Really? Mm-hmm. You should see it. It's very, very,
very
good. Very good movie.
Is that an 80s music movie? Is it based around
the
80s?
Is that this one?
Yeah, holding the...
No.
I think so.
No.
For the people listening, holding up
that's
the...
That's not it.
Holding
He's
up
in
the
rain in the scene,
the
but not... No, that's not it. High Fidelity is he relitigates all his past relationships.
And it's based at a record shop, right?
Yes.
You're thinking of Say Anything.
Yes, yes.
Great
Which
band,
is
too.
Also John Cusack, right?
Yes.
But he is
a lot of
in
Cusacks.
His. Yeah. High Fidelity is a great movie. I think they made a show about it, but they changed a lot of stuff. But High Fidelity is a great movie.
All right. Last two. I'm going to go How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Okay.
Another McConaughey. I'm surprised that wasn't the first McConaughey taken.
Yeah,
McConaughey and Kate Hudson. That's a great movie. Mm-hmm. I actually went to go see that on Valentine's Day 2003
Wait,
in
whoa.
The theaters. Loved it.
I thought Kate Hudson, was she in both? I think she's in Fool's Gold.
Yeah, too. I think so. They did a. I think they had like a trilogy.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, like, if you get that on-screen chemistry, it just works.
You got to just
roll.
No, I
thought that
it.
Was Sarah Jessica Parker.
No.
Oh, no, that's a different one.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah,
that's Sex and the City.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to name it. I won't pick it, but.
Okay. And then my last one, can't believe this last. This one might actually cause some controversy. Love Actually. I love Love Actually.
Why would it cause controversy?
Because I've heard people say that it sucks. I think Love Actually is a great
movie.
It's like
a good movie.
I think it's like the whole Forrest Gump thing where now people pretend that they don't like Forrest Gump.
It's the worst.
Love Actually is an awesome movie.
All right. Good picks, Rhea and Fran.
Okay, full transparency.
I had to say it.
They gave me one of those. I used How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which I liked anyways.
All right, my last pick. There's some fucking good movies. I'll go Silver Linings Playbook. I love that movie.
Another one about suicide.
You don't think that's a rom-com?
Did it win an Oscar?
What's the deal with, like, what's the rule that we made that you can't be a good movie?
No, you're right. I'm not. You're right. I don't want to be critical.
No, I'm curious because I think rom-coms can be very good movies.
I think,
in my personal opinion...
You think rom-coms,
In my personal opinion, this is not the general consensus, and obviously Princess Bride and, honestly, Crazy Stupid Love don't fit in this category, so I guess I'm contradicting myself. But the best rom-coms... are shittier movies.
See, I disagree. I have a couple movies that are also really good movies that are on my list that if it makes it to that, I think the best rom-coms are the ones that, like, actually really, like, are really, really good movies.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Honestly, Princess Bride is one of the best movies ever made.
Right.
So I'm not...
Like,
I'm
I
not.
Love a really good... Like, Silver Linings Playbook, that's a movie I watched, and I was like, yeah. That was a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
You know what's great about that movie?
It's also a Suey Bird special.
Yeah, it is. It's also about learning, you know, more than loving somebody else, loving yourself.
Yes.
So it's like multidimensional.
Yes.
I like that movie. I think that could count. That's a little out of the box, but I think it's about a love story.
Right.
It's funny.
The central plot is the love story
and the Eagles.
His bounce back. Yeah,
that's the comedy,
and she saves him, kind of thing. Those are always nice, you know, when the new love saves him from Sui
Ichiro.
Yeah,
Suizuki.
All right, Jeems, go ahead.
All right, Jeems, wrap us up.
All right, we're gonna go with Jerry Maguire.
Ooh,
okay, yeah, I had that on my list.
I did too.
You had me at hello.
Yeah,
good.
Yep.
Shut up.
It's a good pick. Shut up. That's a good pick. Great pick.
And I will end Vince Vaughn. I feel like the guy to go with a Vince Vaughn pick, Couples Retreat.
Okay.
That's a shitty movie.
Yes.
Bad Rotten Tomatoes, good romantic comedy.
Is that one of those ones where he made it just so that he could go hang out in Hawaii for like 3 months?
Yes.
I love that. I love when actors reach that point in their career. It's like, not only am I just trying to get the bag, but I'm also just trying to go on vacation while I work.
Yes. All right, so here's the movies that I had that I missed that I think are great movies. The Big Sick.
Never saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome movie. Go watch it. Very, very good. Groundhog Day. That one I was kind of maybe not a rom-com.
So
sci-fi.
I think it would. Yeah, good point. I think it would be a rom-com if it didn't also involve time travel.
Right. So the other one that just came out, I think last year, Palm Springs.
That one's good.
That's basically a redux of Groundhog's Day, which I think that's probably closer to a rom-com.
Uh-huh.
That was a great movie. I liked that a lot.
Failure to Launch was the McConaughey, Sarah Jessica Parker one.
Terry Bradshaw's ass.
Yep.
In that one.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I had Sleepless in Seattle. Also, its sequel, You've Got Mail.
Yep.
Hitch.
Yep. 500 Days of Summer.
Hitch is a good one. Mm-hmm. Hitch is a great one.
Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yep. Clueless.
So I thought about Clueless.
But isn't it like half-brother or half-brother?
That one, yeah. So she ends up like making out with Paul Rudd, who's a stepbrother.
Yes.
That's also based on a Shakespeare play.
That's Othello, I think.
That's
Macbeth.
That's Emma.
That's Emma.
Yeah. Along Came Polly.
Yep. What about There's Something About Mary?
Yep.
Mm, I don't think it can be a rom-com if there's jizz.
What?
If you can, if they show cum,
so
it's not romantic anymore. That's just a sex. It's a sex rom.
Yeah. No. There's something about Mary. Cum. There's something about Mary.
It's like, funny cum.
I was thinking about it. That was less of a rom-com to me than Wedding Crashers. That's why I kept it off, but I put it down on my list.
13 Going on 30. Love that one.
If I ran out of picks, I was going to throw out Pirates of the Caribbean. I don't know.
Stagnetti's Revenge?
No.
Oh.
That's just ROM.
Yeah.
Just ROM.
It's
just ROM.
It's hardcore ROM.
Love and Basketball?
Yeah.
That's not a comedy. What?
Just a romance?
Sure. Yeah.
What about is Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
Would that be a ROM-COM?
That might be a Japtow.
No, I don't think it's a Japtow.
Is Bridesmaid? I would say that Bridesmaids is less of a romantic comedy than Wedding Crashers.
I agree. That's why I kept it off. Like I wrote it down, but I wasn't gonna. I knew I probably wasn't gonna get to it
because that's about chicks and they're really. It's a romantic comedy.
Kristen Wiig's relationship is. It's not the central plot.
Yeah,
yeah. It happens.
It's more about like Kristen Wiig's learning how to deal with toxic friends, reconnecting with good friends.
Correct. Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Let's see. I think that's... Oh, yeah, Billy's picks. You want to hear Billy's picks?
Yeah, okay.
So I asked Billy what his picks would have been if he had done this one, and he said Sahara.
Okay, Rambo 3.
No, that's McConaughey, I think.
Yeah. Is it Sahara?
I think so. I think anything with McConaughey pre, like, whatever it was when he had AIDS is, like,
pre-AIDS,
considered a romantic
HIV?
Comedy. No, the movie.
Oh.
Dallas Buyers Club.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah, Grease. Grease is actually not a bad choice.
Okay.
Project X. And and Debbie Does Dallas. He put that one in.
All right.
Good job, Billy.
All right, let's wrap up. We got Fyre Fest of the Week. Monday, we have Kirk Herbstreit on. Great interview with him. A little college football getting ready to go. Week zero is this week. Hank, you want to go with Fyre Fest?
Sure. So this is kind of a continuation of my Fyre Fest last week when I mentioned I lost PFT's charger. It was a nice charger, 6-foot charger. So I went to reimburse the charger, and at the Apple store they were like, we don't have the 6-foot charger you asked for, We only have these small ones. And so I got him a 2 foot charger and what I thought was a 3 foot charger. So it was like five feet total. I didn't want to be that guy that like reimburses something less than what I would lost. Mm-hmm. So I felt like getting him a 2 foot charger wouldn't have counted. Then PFT tweeted a picture giving me credit and I realized that it wasn't 3 feet, it was 3 meters. So it was 9 feet. So I really got him 11 feet worth of chargers, and I could have just given him one charger and taken the other one for myself or not paid for two.
Yeah. Right. Do you want the other charger back?
No. But.
Are you sure?
It was just a little bit of a fire fest where I was like, obviously, chargers at the Apple Store are kind of expensive. And I was like, but I didn't want to be that guy. Went the extra mile and then realized after the fact I didn't have to.
Love it.
Not to be the guy that looks reimbursement horse in the mouth, but. I happen to notice when I looked at those chargers, I think they're both the type of adapter that goes like into a new Apple.
That's the one you gave me.
Okay. Yeah. No. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the chargers, Hank. I appreciate the extra.
That was the type of charger that you gave to me. No.
No, but here's what'll make you feel better.
It was USB.
It was USB to iPhone.
No, it wasn't.
Oh no. PFT's okay. Still high from Benny the Butcher.
So that's what it was. But
no, it wasn't.
On the bright side.
It absolutely was not.
You plugged it into my laptop, I remember.
Facts.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, Bob.
That one?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. When?
On the bus.
Uh-oh.
I don't recall that.
I do not recall.
But I was going to say that charger was just one that you might have even left at my house, at the beach house.
Oh.
So you might have lost your own charger that I inherited from you and then gave to you, which you lost.
And then I gave you 11 feet back.
This is just what guys do. 11 feet.
Damn. Yeah. Okay, thank you, PFT.
My Fire Fest of the week. I got two. First is I drank MCT coffee today, this morning, which is like bulletproof coffee. I don't know what it is, but it sounded badass. So I ordered it. And I've been having to check, if that makes sense, every time I fart. Just to make sure, because apparently one of the side effects of it is you just crap yourself uncontrollably. Yeah,
that's how you know it's good coffee.
That's how you know that the coffee's working. So I've been having to check. Haven't crapped myself, but it has made me fart a lot. But this is more so it's just like I've reached a week into my new diet. And in my new diet, I've been exercising a lot. But the problem with that is this is what happens every time you start a new diet. You exercise too much. And then your body's like, fuck you. What are you doing to me? You haven't taken me out for more than like a 5 mile per hour walk in 6 months, and now you're running on me. So now my legs hurt, and I've got bone bruises, and I've got like strained muscles, and I'm shitting myself because I went from 0 to 60 in my new diet.
I think you're hitting the cycle.
Maybe. So I'll let you know.
They
if it's
just did like an ESPN game check-in to PFT as he poops himself.
My body is doing
a man can do it all
stress test right now. It's tough. My other Fire Fest is that I've almost reached the point where I can admit that Dwayne Haskins is going to be a very good quarterback. So he's getting, I think.
No, he's not. Don't worry. Hold on. You're good.
I think he's getting all the snaps for the Steelers. And he's looked so good in the preseason.
Yeah, he's not.
But I don't know. He's not. One of those things where I'll be like.
I've done this before.
No, he's not. Hold strong.
Who have you thought about, Hank?
He's not.
Dwayne Haskins. I was like on the train either last year or 2 years ago.
Don't worry. No. But I mean, like. For me, it's painful because it's a player that you got rid of.
Yeah, no, he's not. Don't worry. I'm telling you.
Are you sure?
Trust me. No.
Because he's looked good.
Yep. That doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm still nervous about it.
You're good. All right, I got kind of a real Fire Fest. Sorry to bum everyone out, but I did get triggered yesterday. Had been a long time since I got triggered online. And I had a little introspection because if you missed it, we skipped over Jake's stress test on Tuesday for time. And then, like, people were complaining on Twitter, and I was like, fuck this, like, whatever. I got triggered, and I admit it. But I had a little introspection, and I realized that the passing of Jimmy Hayes had affected me a little bit more than I let on. Not saying that I was best friends with Jimmy Hayes, probably hung out a few times, great guy, but the fact that his kids were the exact same age as my kids kind of fucked me up. So, weird week. But it was like a thing that I didn't really, I don't know, I kind of pushed it down. And then like last night I was like, you know, this is actually really fucking me up as I was putting my son to bed. So I apologize for getting triggered. But yeah, I think it's more the message is it's okay sometimes to look into yourself and be like, hey, why am I short-tempered and why am I off? So that was my Fire Fest. sorry for making it real.
I think it's okay
to not be okay.
Yeah, I joke about that all the time, but I do think like there's, you know, to just kind of look and be like, hey, why did I fly off the handle here? Oh, this might be because I'm suppressing these emotions. It was a very big moment for me.
There you go.
Breakthrough.
Talking about it out loud helps.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that shit fucked me up. I'm doing better today, but yeah. All right, sorry, Jake.
No,
that's
sorry.
A terrible
Let
thing.
Let me know if you want any mushrooms.
You're doing better.
I'm good. I don't need any mushrooms.
Okay. Yeah. So heading to Long Island this weekend, was packing my bag and the zipper broke.
There it is. That's pretty a great
simple.
Follow-up.
It's pretty
Perfect
simple.
Perfect follow-up.
Like, that was, Jake,
I
okay?
spent all week thinking about what if I tragically died and my kids never got to spend any more time with me.
Are you all right,
Your
Jake?
Zipper broke,
no,
though.
No, Jake. Like, it's a safe space to talk about this sort of thing.
Do you have a backup?
I feel
that
bad now.
So good. No, don't feel bad. Come on. You
it's
know
shame
I don't
Billy's
care.
Not here to give you one of his giant backpacks.
Oh, yeah. That was so perfect.
Guys, we don't talk about it sometimes when our luggage breaks. We're
so
told
perfect.
The time that we're little boys, like, that's not the... Girls talk about their bags. Mm-hmm. And girls talk about always needing a new bag and demanding a bag from you. But guys, we don't express that. So do you have a backup?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. We're okay.
That was close.
Not important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, yeah.
So memes.
Memes.
All right, I'm up. Mine was going to be...
Was that? Wait, did you mean to say that out loud, or was that you talking to yourself?
That was me talking to myself.
All right, memes, you got this.
So mine was going to be something about Nick Cassiano Photoshops.
Yeah, you are addicted.
I think it's time for an intervention to your Nick Cassiano.
We had this conversation last week at the end of Grit Week. We're like, Memes is awesome. He works his ass off. Very funny guy. He might be addicted to Nick Cassiano's Photoshops.
I did, and, well, I am. And he just hit a home run.
Oh, no.
It was perfect timing.
Oh, as Big Cat was saying.
Yeah.
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 The serious perfect. Part.
Yeah.
So the guy just has great timing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's it. Right.
What
so,
about what about
wait,
the
you didn't
about
say,
the coaches?
Wait, you didn't say that you're gonna fix it.
Oh no. No, no.
You're
no,
just
no.
Saying, all right, that's first step. You admitted it.
The pie chart of
it.
Memes' brain is like memes or Nick Castellanos. So 90% of it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have like an alert set up on any sort of device that you own that tells you when Nick Castellanos is up to bat?
No, I just have the MLB
home runs. I
okay,
have that.
Get the home run
I have that on alerts too. It's the best
for him and Yelich.
Yeah,
who's not very close to
no
to
no.
20.
No, not you, even.
Somebody should
close
start
to close.
A Twitter account that's just posting Nick Cassiano's home runs, and then people can follow that and then see it on their timeline when it pops up. And then if it's next to a tragedy, they can take a screenshot and get a bunch of retweets on it. Just an idea.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
Yeah.
All right. Numbers. 99. Memes. Oh, you have a fact?
I did look one up. Kangaroos can't fart.
Whoa.
That sounds like a Billy fact.
It does.
That is Jake. What is it?
If they can poop,
what does that sound
they can
like?
Fart. No?
What do you mean?
It's cap. Jake, that's cap.
Sure.
I thought
we put that to rest.
No, you no, have
you
it.
Haven't.
You tried.
Don't make PFT say it.
All right,
for our sake,
I don't
want to
say it anymore.
All right, it's cap.
Thank you. All right. 99.
81.
8.
69.
55.
There you go, memes.
It'd be a really funny bit right now.
Oh, I'm rooting for it. 95. All right, we'll see you guys Monday.
Love you guys. Kangaroos don't fart.
For real?
Wait.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.